Hariom. So last week we concluded with the last shloka of Dakshinamurti Sutta. Today we'll just see a brief summary of all the 10 shlokas. In shloka number 1, Adi Shankaracharya presents the summary of Vedanta. What is the essence of Vedanta? And that is, the self is my nature, and the world, which is false, is superimposed on the self. So this Vishwam, the world, is within me, Nijantargatam. But because of Maya, Mayaya, Bahihi Iva Udbhutam. So we say that the world is external, but that is not true. It is only projected external because of the Maya. The world is inside us. And world is inside us, meaning the world is superimposition on this Atma. How? Like Nidra, like sleep, like dream. In dream, all the objects and the people that we dream of are a superimposition of the mind. It is the mind alone which projects into different things. There was never a thief in my dream. I only was the thief, and I only robbed myself. So I should be blaming myself, but I don't. So therefore, this is the reality. This truth, when one wakes up, either when one wakes up from dream, they come to know that they were in the dream, or when one wakes up from this waking world to Prabuddha, to become realized. Then Prabodha Samaye Swa Atmanam Advayam Sakshat Kuruti finds oneself to be this non-dual self. And this is a direct experience, personal experience. There is no medium of senses. There is no medium of Shastra. Nothing in between to tell me my nature. Because it is me, my direct experience. One who has this experience, or one who had this experience, is my Guru, Bhagavan Dakshinamurti. To him is my prostration. Or whoever had this darshana is my Guru, and that is Dakshinamurti. To him is a prostration. So either way we look at it. Now, having explained that, question comes, well, where did the world come from? Well, he said that the world is within me, projected within me. But where did everything, so intricate details of this world, where did it all come from? We cannot say all of that was within me. Bijasya antaha ankuraha. How there is this sprout which is there in the seed. But before it sprouts, it is in what state? It is in the state of nirvikalpa, prak nirvikalpa. So where did this creation come from? My creation came from that nirvikalpa self. The self which is without any modification. Well, then the question comes, how is that possible? that which is nirvikalpa became vikalpa or savikalpa, became manifested different things. How is that possible? So that is explained. Mayavi iva vijrumbhayati mahayogi iva yaha. So there was a Mayavi, a magician. But this magician is not untrustworthy. Magician is not somebody who will, who is magician, they aankh mein dhool jhok di. It's not like that. And to put a smoke in your eyes and then just vanish. Not like that. Mahayogi. He somebody can be trusted, who will reveal the truth. So, like this great magician who projects oneself into multifold creation. To that, Guru Dakshinamurti is my question. So the point here is, the material cause and the efficient cause of the creation is the self alone. Self changes into all the material that we see in this world. With what power does it change? Maya kalpita desha kala kalana. It is created based on the power of Maya. So, that's magical power. And the self alone is the efficient cause, because without the self, the creation process never works. So, meaning inert cannot create something else. Something has to be sentient for it to create. Therefore, is also the efficient cause. That is explained by Mayavihi and Mahayogi. Where did the shine come in this world? We said that the world is created by the self, by this Paramatma, and Paramatma alone manifests as this. But where does it get the shine? How is it able to shine? So that is also Paramatma. So Paramatma lends its sentiency to the Jagat, and the Jagat then shines. So yasya eva spuranam asat kalpaarthakam bhasat. Spuranam, the effulgence of whose makes the asat padartha, that which is false, objects, meaning material objects of the world, it makes it shine. And makes it shine as how? Sat atma. It is shines as it is existing. It shines as a presence. So it itself shines, and it also makes all the objects of the world shine. So where is it effulgence coming from? Also from the self. And one who uses the scriptures, Veda Vachasa, which is Tattvamasi, Sakshat Bodhayati, one who is able to reveal this truth by the words of the scriptures, that you are that. And knowing this knowledge, there is no punaravarti. There is no coming back in this. So this is one knowledge, knowing which nothing else needs to be known. Attaining which, there's nothing else remains to be attained anymore. This knowledge is my Guru and Bhagavan Dakshinamurti. Then, what about the objects of the world? How do they get the shine? Understood that I get the shine because I am the self, I self reveal myself. But what makes the other objects of the world shine? So nana chidra ghato darasthita mahadeepa prabhasu bhaswaram jnanam. So the effulgence is such of the self that it stays within this body, and with the multiple holes that we have in the body, our senses and all the different places from which the knowledge can come out, this effulgence moves out, and because of which we are able to cognize, come to know that the objects of the world are. The senses tells us its respective sense object, but the effulgence tells us that there is an object that exists. But because our way of looking at the world is, we look through it from our senses, so we say that the world is to be this way only. So if I see a ball, I will say it is a ball only, because my eyes only saw a circular shape. Because what I was doing is, I was using my senses to objectify the ball. But if I go through the effulgence, then my effulgence only told me that the ball exists. So in this way, by our senses, this effulgence goes out and reveals all the objects of the world. And then I say, Janam, I come to know. And with that, the scriptures also say, Tameva bhantam anubhati sarvam. Like that, the self alone shines, nothing else shines. And when the self shines, everything else borrows the shine from the self, and then they shine. So objects of the world do not have their own shine. They borrow and then they shine. But the self shines on its own. And that's why I say, I know. That ability to say that I know has to be the ability of the self. This is my nature. This is my Guru, Dakshinamurti. What about other schools of thought? Now, this effulgence, this knowledge is good, but what about those other schools of thought who don't have this? So they are Dehavadi, Pranavadi, Indriyavadi, like that. So Deha, Pranam, Indriyani, Chalam Buddhi, Shunyam Viduhu. And then Stri Balanda Jadopama, Stu Aham Iti Branta Vrishambadina. So these people who do not know this Vedanta philosophy, they are stuck. They are deluded by false thoughts. They're deluded by the power of Maya, which veils the reality for them. So whatever then they see, they consider that as to be the reality. If they see it from the perspective of their deha, they say the world is like deha only. It is for my enjoyment, the body's enjoyment. That's it. Nothing else. Like that, those who identify with prana, they'll say it's for prana. With indriya, indriya. Like that. They have limited knowledge. But my prostration is to that guru, Dakshinamurti, who Mahavyamoha Samharine, one who destroys the Mahavyamoha, the great delusion, which is casted by Maya Shakti. So, but that Maya, which deludes all these other schools of thoughts, that cannot come to this understanding that self is my nature, this Dakshinamurti, he dispels all of this for me. Therefore, my prostration to Dakshinamurti. What about in deep sleep? Can we say that the self exists in deep sleep? Can the self exist in deep sleep? Why can't we say ignorance is the nature of the self? So it's not possible. Like how? Rahu grasta divakarendu sadrusha. Like the sun and the moon, engulfed by the Rahu. So it is temporary. But even when the Rahu covers them, one is able to know from the light of the sun alone that the solar eclipse has happened. We don't need somebody else's light to tell us that solar eclipse is up. That halo, that shine that comes about, which makes that nice disc. So the point is, its presence alone makes deep sleep also happen. And how do I know when I wake up? Praga swapsam prabodha samaye. When I wake up, I have an experience that I was the one who had gone to sleep. This is what we call as pratyabhijna. My experience matched with my past experience. So present experience matched with my past experience. I'm not remembering that I was there in the past. In the present, I am having that I was there, I was the same person there in the past also. That experience is what we call as pratyabhijna. So therefore, when we wake up from deep sleep, I do not have a memory that tells me I had gone to deep sleep. I have a memory that tells me I was also present doing deep sleep. And from that experience, then we interpret and we say, I must have been the one who was sleeping, who was dreaming. So therefore, that then we create. So that experience is a proof enough that the self exists in deep sleep state also. One who has this experience is my guru. Wonderful. But pratyabhijna is not enough. The self is such that it is all perfect. It is present in any and everything that is there. All the avasthas. So therefore, all the avasthas are mentioned. Balyadishu. So the avastha of the body. Right? How the body goes from bala avastha to yuva avastha to jara avastha and all that. Likewise, jagradadi. The state of the mind. Jagrat, swapna, sushupti. Sarvasu avasthasu. And any other state in which the person can be. All those states, they change. But the self still remains unchanged in all of them. How do we know that all states are changing? Because from one state to another, there is no interconnectivity. One who is in waking state cannot say that the dream state is the same state. But the one who moved from waking to dream says, I was the one who was awake. I am the one now who is dreaming. So the waker, identifying with the waking state, calls oneself as waker. And that waker identifies now with the dream state, calls himself dreamer. So this identifier is the same. The state has changed. That is what we call as vyavrittasu. So mutually exclusive state in all of them, anuvartamanam, one who goes through all of them. But this knowledge, my guru, he reveals through auspicious sign, mudraya bhadraya, by the auspicious sign, which shows that the self alone is my nature. Swatmanam prakati karoti. Swatmanam, that nature, that I am this self-effulgent self. Tasmai Shri Guru Murtaye Dakshina Murtaye Idam. And finally, all the bhedas that are there, those bhedas are seen by this purusha in the state of delusion with bheda, but in the state of prabodha, there are no bheda, but still presents himself as this deluded person. So yaha esha purushaha maya paribhramitaha. This self, as though seems as deluded by this maya, in the state of sopna and jagratavastha, sees the world in this way. Sees the world with cause and effect relationship. There's one has a cause, another has an effect. Sees that there is one Swami, there is one something that is controlled. There's a Shishya, there's a Guru, there is a Pita, and then there is a Putra. All these different relations a deluded mind sees, but the self within that doesn't. And that self, knowing that I am the self, acts in the world as though I am deluded. Continues on with this journey of this Bheda. So Vishwam Pashyati Karya Karanataya and Pitru Putra Adhyatmana Bhedataha. But in Swapna and Jagrati, Maya Paribhyanta. Tasmai Shri Guru Murtaye Dakshinamurtaye Idam Namah. Frustration to that Dakshinamurti. Not the one who is deluded. Dakshinamurti who behaves as though he is deluded. Although knowing all too well, I am the self. How can I attain this self? So then in Shloka number 9, the Upasana is told of how to attain this Dakshinamurti. Seeing this Bhagavan, seeing the self as the Ashtamurti. So, Bhuhu, Ambhamsi, Analaha, Anilaha, Ambaram, then Surya, Chandra, and Kumam. These eight things that are there in this creation, all of this is nothing but the form of that. And other than this, na anyat kinchan asti. Other than this, there is nothing else in this creation. This is the upasana. So when I see the five elements, I see gross world. And when I see this gross world, instead of thinking that this gross world is separate from me, I see them as the element from which this entire creation is made, and this element comes from the self. So instead of looking at the element as something different, I look at the element as the self. This is an upasana. And likewise, sun and the moon, they are the motivator, like the pranas, they are the motivator for the body to function. So they are also the self. Prana is nothing different than this, and the puman, the jiva. The jiva only is jiva because the jiva doesn't know the truth reality. The moment he knows his true reality, he is that Sakshi, he is that self, he is that realized master. So one who has this vision, na anyat kinchan asti, vimrushatam, one who has contemplated, reflected in this way, tasmai Shri Guru Murtaye Dakshinamurtaye Idam Namah. That is my Guru Dakshinamurti, and to him my prostration. And then finally, what is the result that can be attained from this knowledge? That in Shloka number 10, the result attained is Sarvatma Bhava. One doesn't find oneself separated from God. Because the very thing that would separate me from the world is the mind. And that mind has now been put to bed. That mind has been put to put aside. So you cannot distinguish a difference between this and that. Eyes may see this and that. But the knowledge tells that even though there is this and that, it still belongs to me. It is me. So sarvatmattvam iti sputikritam idam yasmadamushmin stavya. In this Dakshinamurti Stotram, this has been very clearly presented, clearly laid out, that nothing but the self alone is. How do I attain it? Tasya shravanat, mananat, and dhyanatcha. Shravan manan nididhyasana, that must be done. And once we attain it, then continue to chant. Sankirtana. After attaining it, just keep on reveling in that knowledge. And when you get it, then you attain all sorts of siddhi. So Mahavibhuti Sahitam Ishwarattam Sutahasya. One becomes fully accomplished. Attains the greatest siddhi, and that is the siddhi of Jivamukti. But other than that, also attains other siddhi. Siddhye tat punaha ashtadha parinatam cha avyahatam. Unobstructed siddhis. Ashtasiddhi, we know. So that ashtasiddhi for which a lot of people chant Hanuman Chalisa. Ashtasiddhi Navanidhi Kedata. So we ask Hanumanji, by the grace of Bhagwan, one can get that. But these gnanis, these masters, they really don't care for it. Because they got the greatest siddhi, that is self-realization. So all these other siddhis are just meaningless. Like the blade of a grass, which has no meaning. Like that, they see these siddhis. You know how we see the blade of a grass? Just toss it away like that. Like that, they just toss it away. But that's the accomplishment of self-realization. So one must put forth effort to definitely attain this in their life. And with our studies, may we continue to do Shravan Manan Nididhyasana, that we can also attain. Okay. So this much is the summary of all the 10 shlokas. Now, if anybody had any questions or anything that they would like to clarify, we can go through that.
Hariyam Dhirenji.
Hariyam Nituji.
So I have a question here, like the first one, which is a meditation verses. Mon vyakhya prakrit par brahma tattvam yuvana. Here the translation says, I worship Sri Dakshinamurti, the young guru who teaches the knowledge of Brahman through silence. So silence here is the stilling of mind, or what is here he means? Is it the 10th shloka what we are gaining after learning all this knowledge? Or what is the silence here he is talking about?
Silence could have many meanings. One, it is there itself in the shloka. It says, Kara Kalita Chin Mudram Ananda Rupam. So, how Kanchanji is showing this,
just the hand
mudra, yeah, that is one sign. So one who knows this sign has to just continue to reflect upon this knowledge. So by folding the index finger, by folding the index finger into your thumb, you create that complete circle. And also, it is a reminder that without the thumb, none of the other fingers carry any meaning. Likewise, without the self, nothing else in this world carries any meaning. Therefore, going on continuously reflect, then the teacher doesn't have to tell anything. That is one sign. Another is Anandarupam. The teacher who is already in the state of bliss, by staying in the state of bliss, obviously is going to emit that positivity, that this is what is supposed to be the ecstasy of self-realization. So then the student can automatically pick that up. But in order to pick that up, the student also have to be high-level students. So student also have to have some form of knowledge. Otherwise, to pick up that kind of clue is very difficult. It's not so easy. But that's what we can understand from this first meditative verse, that Monam Vyakhya is basically mean that Adi Shankara, Dakshinamurti Bhagavan is quiet. He's not speaking any words or even elaborating on anything. He has simply closed his eyes with the Chin Mudra, and his appearance itself is of this. Seeing that, the Sishyas are also enjoying and reveling in that.
So basically, Shishyas are at a level where they can interpret this, the Chin Mudra.
Yes. I mean, you know, just thinking about it like that the word after that, it says, Swatma Ramam Mudita Vadanam. One who is reveling in oneself, one whose facial expression is showing bliss. Somebody doesn't have a right thinking, they will think, oh, I should have a little bit of somras before I do my meditation. That will give me this mudita vadana, and that will give me this swatma rama, how to revel within myself. Buddhi can be made to think anything. So in order to take it in the right sense, the sishya had to be
thank you.
Hiranji, the initial praising verses, I was looking for that verse we chant all the time. Ishvaro Guru Atmete Murti Veda Vibhagane Vyomabhati Aptadehaya Dakshina Murti Naha. I didn't find that one. Where is it hidden? It's from this one only, right?
No, I mean, it is one of the Dakshinamurti Bhagwan's stotra, but it's not part of it.
Yeah. But it is the right way.
Yeah, Ishwaro Guru Ratmeti Murti Veda.
So it's not in this one, right?
Yes. It's not in this one. But the essence is there.
Yeah, I see the essence is there.
When you say Tasmai Shri Guru Murtaye Dakshinamurti Iram Namaha.
And we chant it all the time, so I was looking for it in this one, but you couldn't find it.
Yes.
Thank you.
Hari Om. Question on the verse number 5, Sirinji. When the different vads are described here, some of them are the Dehatmavad or the Pranavad. I guess the thing that they say in the commentary, Pujya Gurudev's book, that these were all intellectual people who actually had studied Upanishad and were doing a conversation back and forth and trying to intelligently understand and define what really is the essence. And they were following the Upanishads while doing so. I just wonder why then the basic thing that they pick up in the Upanishad would be the nature of the self being Sat-Chit Anand. Could they not simply have gone away from this theory by simply asking themselves, if this thing is Sat-Chit Anand, if it's the thing that we believe is real, in case of the Dehatmavad, it is the Deha, but the Manomayavad, it is the mind, you know, can they not simply pose that question and simply say that it doesn't apply to this? The Deha is not Sat-Chit Anand, neither is the Prana, nor is the mind. So why could they not come away with this and not let it prolong and make it a vad in itself? You know, it could have been disputed and put to rest right away. Why that didn't happen?
So, first thing, and I don't know if Gurudev has mentioned it, but Dehatmavadi, or called Charvakas, they do not believe in the authority of Vedas. So they will never pick up the Vedas to study the Vedas, because they are materialists. And say same way with Pranatmavadi. They're just a little more evolved than the Dehatmavadins, but they do not buy into the authority of the Vedas. And that's why we call them atheist, Nastika. So they're Nastika Darshana because they believe Nasti. They believe in this thought that there's no such thing as Atma. Now, why are they taking this only to a certain level and not, because they're all intellectuals, why couldn't they reach to that higher extent? And it had to do with the vasanas. Their vasanas got them stuck at one point, and it doesn't allow them to go beyond that obstruction, that obstacle that they are facing. So if the joy that they derive from this knowledge is only giving them, they're getting so much joy just by contemplating on these thoughts. They get joy out of experiencing the pleasure of the world. They say, this is it. I think I have found my answer. And they become complacent. They say, okay, this is what the scriptures have to say. Then whatever happens is when they actually go back to the scriptures, they will only see from that perspective as to what the scripture has to say. They will never interpret in a different way. So therefore, the limitation is caused because of the Maya. And we are thankful to our Advaitin gurus, who Maya Shakti Vilasa Kalpita Mahavyamoha Samharini, who destroyed this Mahamoha. So that's the only interpretation I can understand why they are so deluded. It is just as sometimes that I wonder, why is it that there are different religions? Because it's not that the people who founded the religion were dumb, but they didn't have anything better, so that they founded religion. These were smart people, but why did they have differences? Because they saw the truth from their mind's perspective. So because they saw the truth in that way, they only stuck. They only stayed with that way. They didn't want to venture out, because they were happy with that. And that's what created this bifurcation. But when you go dive deeper into it, they all have one thing in common, one essence in common. So that's how I understand it to be, that the obstacles were in their own Maya.
The delusion which is there because of their ignorance or vasanas that is present, at the same time, I think Gurudev also says that they were interpreting on their own. They didn't have a guru to guide them. They were just reading it and interpreting it in their own particular way, came to a conclusion which was completely not meant to be. And yet it kept on dwelling on that part, but it still confounds me about the basic things which are there in Upanishad. They were not trying to see if that actually matches with what they're concluding, So yes. That they probably didn't do that, and they kept, as you said, I think they just kept on enjoying what they think that they found, and they kept on relishing it and spreading it and feeling good about it, and forgot to really look at the Pramana.
Essentially, the body identification, just like I see sunrise and sunset, unless I get off this, unless somebody tells me sun is not really rising and setting, I still believe sunrise and set. Unless I get off from this plane of thinking, I go higher plane, I will never essentially think that sun can really rising. I always think, according to my body, according to what I see, sun is rising, sun is setting. It still remains a fact from our India viewpoint. So I think they are stuck at the same level as body identification. So I will never accept. I will never really see that sun is rising or setting unless somebody tells me, and then I think from that direction. I will never see the sunrise, sunset, right? So I think nobody showed them, as you said, no guru to tell them really, sun is never rising, sun is never setting. You are not the body. That thing, nobody told them. And if I see from my own viewpoint, if I think myself, I was, I'm the body, that's it. I will not go beyond it. I think that's what I think.
We know this Mahavakya very well, right? Tattvamasi. In Advaita Vedanta, Tattvamasi means, Tat means that, Tvam means you, Asi means us. You are that. Now this Tat, if you know a little bit of Sanskrit, Tat is in Napumsakalinga Shabda. And Tat is the base word. Tat is a base word. And from that Tat, many other words can be formed with the different type of vibhakti you add to it. So if you add the sixth case vibhakti, Tat becomes Tasya. And the word Tasya means of his. So there are people who look at this Tattvamasi and they say, Tat cannot mean that, literally that. Tat cannot mean that self. So Tat has to mean Tasya. Now you add that. Tasya Tvamasi. So Tasya means who? God. Of the God, you are. So now they interpret it in this way that you belong to God. Another way they interpret this way, okay? Again, Tat in third case becomes Tena. So Tena means by him. You are. So you are by him. So who you are is by him, meaning you are the Amsha of him. So their interpretation allows them to venture out, but that is also a limitation.
During the class, I think I also interpreted it as many times we become Dehatmavadi or Manomayavadi. Our thought process is in that way. Like, I am hungry, I am sad. So it doesn't have to be those people. It is until I myself realize I am also following the same vada.
Yes. Yes, that is very true. These Vadas, they to a certain extent are also within us. Though we may follow Advaita Vedanta philosophy, there are times when that little Shira became too much. I wanted to have that Shira little twice. So that's a Dehatmavad. My body is giving me these urges and I have to respond to them. So in an extent, they can be our feelings also.
Dhirinji, I have a question on verse number 9.
Yes.
So Vimrishatam, I think the explanation is the one who reflects or contemplates on the knowledge. He realizes the eightfold manifestation of the Supreme. Is that correct?
Yes. The one who reflects in this way is able to know that other than this, the self, there's nothing else. And when the self is there, it sees the self in this eightfold.
Okay. So in Upadesha Sara, the same words have come, Ashtamurti Vrat Deva Pujanam, where it is explained as a path of Bhakti Yoga. So I'm trying to understand that the same thing there is explained as Bhakti Yoga. You worship the Lord, you do a service to the world with the attitude of worshiping the Lord, because those eight forms are actually the Lord appearing. So here it is it more like a Jnana Yoga here? Like you contemplate on them. So I'm trying to understand, is this a step? What is the difference between the two?
Here, this shloka is trying to explain how to cultivate the vision to see the self in all. So this becomes an upasana, a worship. So if I don't see, when I look at the objects of the world as myself, I can make that as an upasana and try and force myself to say that I'm looking at an object, but wait, that object is nothing but bhuhu, ambaha, anala, anilaha, ambaram. Like that, I can continue to reflect and say, well, but these are all elements. And all these elements are coming from where? They're coming from Maya. Well, Maya is there because of whom? Maya is there because of me, the self. So like that, constantly reflecting allows me to break down the barriers of objects. And I see the very essence, that form. So in a way, this can be seen as an bhakti only. But what you are saying, you're talking about knowledge. So when this becomes a firm understanding for somebody, then they no longer need to do an upasana. That is their way of life. That is their way of living. So for them, this is their reality.
Okay, thank you. So one of the elements listed here is also jiva, means all the beings, correct?
Yes.
All the beings. Because in one of the previous verses, you were explaining about Vivaranavada, and then their idea of one jiva and one Ishwara is given. So for me, one Ishwara is easier to contemplate, understand, but one jiva is not easy to understand for us. So is that one jiva represents, because all jivas have one ignorance, the same ignorance, that's why all jivas are same, or is there another way of interpreting that there is one jiva only?
In ek jiva vada, the person considers oneself only as the Ishwara and oneself only as the Jagat. Other than me, there is nothing else. And it is very difficult to even comprehend how I am this Ishwara, how I am this Lord. And foolish way is then person becomes arrogant. I am the Ishwara, I am the Lord, I can do anything. So it can result in that also. In Bahujiva Vada, the person says, I am a Jiva like so many other Jivas, but my connection is there with one Ishwara. So there is one Lord who created all these different Jivas. But in the first one, there is no feeling like that, that there is one Ishwara who created me. I am the Ishwara, I am the Jiva. So I am the Ishwara and the Jiva. There is no Jiva only. There is only I. I hope, I don't know if that explanation was your answer to your question.
Yeah, I didn't catch much in that previous verse. I just remembered like one Jiva, one Vishwara, that idea. So I think you were explaining as if the light comes into the hall, like light, you know, when you turn on the light, it may not light all the rooms, but then, you know, I think the question asked was how come if one Jiva got realized, then all the Jivas have to be realized then. I think you were explaining like that. So I wanted to know what is that one Jiva means? Is that like there is just one Jiva? Because we all have different vasanas, different prarabdha karma and all. So we understand that we are all different because of that, our mind and our vasanas. Now, the idea of one Jiva, is that because we have one ignorance, that's why we are all same?
When the person says there is one Jiva, the person cannot say I have vasana. Because other than me, there is nothing that exists. So there is no individual vasana there anymore. So in Ek Jiva Vada, though it is called Ek Jiva, the person is not a Jiva like the person in the Bahu Jiva Vada. So there, the flip or light is basically staying in this knowledge that I alone am, the self alone is. Other than the self, there is nothing. When I lose my focus from the self, I get oriented with mind. So mind is the, you can say the alter ego, or I don't know if the alter ego is a better word. When I am not living in my knowledge, I am the mind. But other than mind, there is nothing else. So there is nothing outside of the mind. So the objects of the world are not there. None of that. So what is the total ignorance? The total ignorance is that which is allowing me to not see myself as the self. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm the mind. That is the ignorance. So there's no individual vasana for this person. It's a total ignorance. And that total ignorance is not allowing me to see my real nature. And therefore I see myself as the mind. That's why in Upadesh Sar, Ramana says, Manasam Tukim Margane Krita. So one has to ask, where is this mind? And the moment you ask, where is this mind? The mind falls down. So the total vasana concept or individual vasana concept is not there in Ek Jiva.
Okay. Yeah, now I get it. So it's one Jiva is one Ishwara, you're saying.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, one Jiva, and that Jiva alone is the Ishwara.
Ishwara. Okay, I get it now. Thank you.
So next week, we will start with Advaita Makaranda. That will be our next text. So if you have not gotten the copy of the Advaita Makaranda, please do so. And we will also be looking at a commentary by Swayam Prakashayati. So the text is written by Lakshmidhar Kavi, but the commentary is by Swayam Prakashayati. Obviously, the commentary is not in English, it's all in Sanskrit. But, you know, our Guruji has done a wonderful job of explaining all of that in English text that we have. So we'll follow that, but my approach will be to explain the ideas presented by Swayam Prakashayati ji in his commentary of Lakshmidhar Kavi's Advaita Makaranda.
Are the books available in Yamunotri?
Yes, so the books have been ordered and they actually have been shipped. That's what we understood on Monday. They are on their way. So we are hoping that we'll get them by Saturday this week. So I think those who are at Yamunotri can, I will let you know as soon as they arrive. So if you can pick them up from Yamunotri bookstore on Sunday, that is one way to do it. For those who are not at Yamunotri, those who are requested, we can ship them to you. So you can, I think I can just share my email address. If you can share your email address, I will put it on the chat box. If you can let me know your mailing address and I can.
So what are the Yamunotri?